The idea of habits or things that are compulsive in our lives are on a different domain than you know, what we do consciously. Now, it's very easy to there's some visible habits that are easy to hit. Smoking is one of them. You know, obviously all the others, drinking, drugs.
Coffee.
But the habits that, and they're no greater or lesser than anything else. You know, I before somebody judges someone with a visible habit, look at your own compulsiveness, your compulsions, your arenas of your life where you have absolutely no control. The responses to certain stimulus that are so predictable that it makes you a clown. Your little fears. All of those things are items which are the result of a belief system. It has nothing to do with the outward manifestation. The belief system is the one lie of the universe, that you're separate. You know, there's nothing. I remember once I was on television and this idiot was condemning me, you know, being very righteous about condemning me for smoking. He was sitting next to me. And I reached over and grabbed his belly. I mean, we're talking fat. And I grabbed his belly and I said, "Is this edifying to the temple of God?" You know, I mean, obviously I was
pissed. You're out of control.
That's hilarious.
Out of order, out of control.
He's like, "I'm not just..."
What did you do?
Oh, he just died.
Did he say
thanks for pissing that out? Like, he started getting into it.
Like, thank you for sharing.
Fuck you.
But the thing that bothers me is the propensity and how easily we are separate, how easily sides are taken, how easily opportunities to jump are revealed in these arenas. Our one role in life, in all our communication, is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You don't believe that. You want to bring forth fruit in order to have the flesh pleased. And in all the little subtleties of your life, you, by your experience, by your life, you show that you are man-pleasing. Now, you understand what I'm trying to say? In the littlest ways, and that's the opposite of what it means to bring forth fruit that's necessary for repentance. And the moment you do, John would say to you, You sons of the snake, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear how we can compromise. Well, if Paul went outside to smoke, then we could compromise. If Patty something to you. In Colossians, Paul says of himself, and therefore says of all people who, really of all of us, whereof I am made a minister or a servant according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And he defines the word of God as even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from all ages, from all generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So that defines my job and yours, but since it's mine now, is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, looking at what we've got to deal with, that's a pretty difficult task.
There's got to be a coming.
What?
I said there's got to be a coming with all this manure.
Oh. Now, slowly but surely, we've come to understand something. That to present you perfect in Christ Jesus doesn't have a great deal to do with what you look like on the outside. Do you understand that? I mean, most of you are coming to a fullness of that awareness. But it doesn't have a great deal. I mean, we'd be in deep trouble if what Paul is saying, that my job was to present you perfect in Christ Jesus, to present you as a perfect specimen, if it's what it means sort of to most people, I better quit. I mean, I'm going to go commit suicide because I've got an impossible task. But it's hidden. It's a mystery. Amen. And so to present you perfect in Christ Jesus is a hidden wisdom. Slowly but surely, just as with Christ, you are slowly coming to the awareness of who you are. Some of you slower than others. But that each of you know at some times in your life that you are the vessel for which that which is already perfect is expressing his life. It's not you doing anything or you becoming anything. It's simply you seeing or you believing that Christ is living his life in you. Right now. That you are simply, not simply, you are wonderfully Christ in Tom form, or in Powell form, or Patty form. Now, I am crucified with Christ. You are crucified with Christ. That's not optional. But nevertheless, we live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now that has to mean something. That has to mean that the total government is now on Christ, totally. Do you understand that?
No.
The government is on his shoulders. It's no longer, government just means running things. So that the government of your life is no longer in this mind. The government of your life is in he who is perfect. Not someday, not when things are going well, not when I get little goosebumps because I get revelation, not when I, you know, praise God, God is really showing me something, but all the time. Even in the midst of your depravity. Now, either that is true, or we're wasting our times. We're wasting our lives. If Christ isn't risen in us, then we are without hope, and we have become the most miserable of all creatures because we've seen through the vanity, or seen the vanity of everything else. So can you see the futility of trying to perfect your life by the flesh? You who have begun in the Spirit, are you going to be perfected by the flesh in any dimension of your life? But it's so tempting, especially when you have a companion antagonist. Because everybody, and especially when you know you're, you know, when we get to know each other as well as we know each other, because everybody's got an idea. You know, we could take votes. Let's take a vote on what Patty and Powell should do. Everybody's got an opinion. Well, they could compromise.
Nah. Powell said one of the things that was bugging him was that he wanted to show Jackie and I that, you know, that things were okay, and it was like Ozzie and Harriet.
Good.
And I said, that's okay, pal.
We rest because we know that the works of our life are simply expressions of his nature in us. Period. Can you get a hold of that a little bit? Oh, no, but Christ wouldn't think that. Yes, he would. Remember, always remember, the child, the young man, the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. That's the process of the growth of the Spirit. Christ wouldn't do that. Well, he's doing it. And just as he was confronted with the law, just as he was confronted with the scriptures, just as he was confronted with the temptation to push himself in every dimension, so are you. But he saw through it. So do you. So what's the difference? As he is in this world, so are we. Can you just a little bit feel it? Well, tell me someplace that he isn't then. Tell me someplace in your life where you're convinced he isn't. Some of you are convinced he's not there if you're smoking a cigarette. Most of you are absolutely sure he's not there when you're masturbating. Most of you are sure he's not there even when you're making love to your wife. Jesus wouldn't do that. Do you understand how great a percentage of your life you, by your belief system, are convinced that Christ isn't in? The way I know you're convinced that he isn't in is because you always manage to tell me when you find him. Do you get that a little bit?
Yeah, really, that'll teach you to share.
What's happening in us is slowly but surely the lie by which Satan has deceived the whole world is being revealed. Now, the lie in all its subtlety that we are independent self-consciousnesses, independent self-awarenesses. And then in this independence, whether it's blatantly evil or subtly or deceivingly good, we're still independent. That's the lie. That's the lie that was destroyed in the cross. Can you feel that just a little bit? Just stop a minute and think about your quote-unquote testimonies. What you say. Whether it's, oh my God, I'm alone again, or I found him over here. Both of them are part of the one lie. Both of them require you to think that you have to do something. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If the cross hasn't permanently accomplished the union, then we're goners. We're without hope. If the cross, hear me, if the cross has not permanently, in every condition, no matter where that condition leads us, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there, or if I descend into the pits of hell, thou art there, if the cross hasn't accomplished that union, then we are without hope in all situations. Well, but you don't understand, Ollie. You don't understand what I'm going through. You understand the two extremes? You remember I like to take off all barriers so that you can see truth without having these little dealies in your life that you can prove anything. If he ascends into heaven, the highest there is, he's there, if you ascend there. If you ascend into the deepest pit, he's there. If you see in the brightest bright of light, he is there. If you see in the darkest dark, he is there. Well, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I want you to all try something right now. Without a mirror, try to see your eye.
What's wrong with you?
Try to see the pupil of your eye.
You can't see it. Oh, you mean really see it without a mirror? Oh.
You can see
maybe
your nose.
I'm like, you can imagine
your
mirror.
No. You cannot see the pupil of your eye. Faith can never see itself. I mean, you could have been designed so that there was one eye here and one eye here, and then we could have looked at each other's eye. Or looked at,
you have to be
look at anybody else.
Hi, eye. Well, that's what you try to do with faith. Faith and seeing are synonymous. The only time you see faith is when you see the false faith, which by which you must do so, to you must raise a mirror to see it. And the mirror, then, you're just like the rest of the world. You look around, all you can do is see, reflect, oh, I think that's pretty. Oh, what does that mean to me? Oh, how can that person I meet, how can I use that person? Or that person is hurting me. Or God is bringing this person into my life to teach me something. Or I know that God's going to show me something from this situation. Oh, most of you love that one.
Thinking about Becca when we went to the motel. It's a big joke in the family now, but she fell or something in the bathroom, and she said, "This motel is hurting me." It's like us saying, "This lack of money is hurting me," or "This money is hurting me," or, "This motel is hurting me."
Like it has a life. Yeah.
Motel.
Motel's hurting me. I know it.
You are, some of you, in some parts of your lives, you are continuing to live as though you are somehow self-acting, self-motivating selves who can be somehow improved. That's the lie. You don't have to go to Jimmy Swaggart to find a lie. You don't have to go to Jim Jones to find a lie. All you have to do is find the area that you think that you are self-acting, self-motivating, that can somehow be improved or changed. Or that somehow your situation can be improved or changed by an act of self or by an act of another self. Do you understand that? The opposite of that is he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Do you know who William Law is?
Bill Law.
William Law. Okay, here's a quote from William Law that's great. God must do all, or all is nothing. But God cannot do all until all is expected of him. Let me repeat it. God must do all, or all is nothing. God cannot do all until all is expected of him. That's the secret that Jesus knew. The Son can do nothing of or from himself. As he is in the world, so are we. It's talking about you. You can do nothing of or from yourself. Nothing. Not whether it's blatantly evil or subtly good. You can do nothing of or from yourself. Jesus said, another way, without me, you can do nothing. Now, he wasn't talking about without me, you can do nothing that is good. That's what the religious, that's what Babylon wants you to believe. Without, it means that you can do nothing, period. Anytime, anywhere, good, bad, indifferent, evil, sweet, sour, nothing. You can't think a thought. There's nothing you can do. If you could do any of those things, then you would be an independent self and you would have bought the lie. You have lived your life thus far that you might bring fruit necessary for repentance, that you might turn from self in every one of these arenas, that you might see that God is all and in all, and that the lie of you as an independent self is gone forever from this moment forward. That's what it means to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You still think repentance means, well, I'm sorry. Repentance means, oh, I'm an independent self, I'm getting better though, and God's helping me in this arena, and God's showing me stuff over here, and every once in a while he comes down and gives me stuff. Or, that's all the independent self, or you can turn from it now and never again see yourself as independent in any arena. That's the gospel, folks. That's the cross. That's the power of God. That's the desire of your heart. That's the heir of all things. Well, I believe that, but I got to take care of this over here first. No. If you give an inch of ground back, you can't give an inch back. If you give an inch back, he'll take the whole 9 yards. Because you can't turn around, your eye can't look around just a little, you can't look at yourself just a little bit in the mirror. Do you understand? It's either all or nothing. Well, then stop taking and going back and saying, well, I'll do that as soon as this and this and this is taken care of. Can you hear it? Can you hear me a little bit? This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. That's all. Finished. Fini. Complete. Done. Forever. Done. And if you see that first, then every needful thing will be met with absolutely no effort on your part. None. Zero. You're at rest. You'll be energized by the stimulus, the divine impulse that you will no longer resist. Your life will be taken and given in new dimensions you've never even dreamed possible. The moment you stop trying to improve yourself. The moment you stop believing the lie of independent self. Okay, now, let's find out where your Christ is.
Did we ask?
Where is your Christ? For most of you, you've at least come to the point where you no longer believe he's in heaven in the great by and by, but now you've advanced a little bit. Now you're convinced that Christ is, every once in a while when you see something, there's your Christ.
What a neat coincidence happened.
Yeah. When you finally understand a Bible verse, or you hear a song, praise God, Jesus is in that song. What? Oh, yeah. There's some I... Or every once in a while when you get the anointing. Then he's in you. The anointing is when you start getting the big goosebumps when John sings the song right, you know, and everything is right, and he's, you know, little tears come down, and then there he, hallelujah, I found him.
Well, that's bothering.
I must be.
I thought for a second everybody had the anointing with me. I didn't know what it was. What is it?
The word anointing simply means, it's the word, it's in Hebrew, it's Hamashiach, which means Christ. But you still, the mind thinks the anointing comes when you have the manifestation of it by something carnal.
By that definition, we
have
the anointing at
Pentecost. Oh, yeah. But you see what you do. You think about this, and you really, because otherwise, the reason I know you think that Christ is, that your Christ is sort of every once in a while over there and here and up and down, and you look for him all the time, is because of your testimony. If you glory in tribulation, that's the evidence that you see, hallelujah, herein is the Christ. He never leaves me.
Yeah. I've generalized it enough now so that if I feel good, then that's Christ, and if I feel bad, it's the absence of
him. Oh, well, it's Daryl's definition of sin. Daryl's definition of sin is if he gets caught, it's sin. If he gets by with it, it's not sin.
Yeah.
What?
We've adopted it.
Yes.
No, we have not.
Bananas manifest.
Oh, so, but the other half of that coin is, when I feel good, Christ is here. When I don't feel good, he's not here.
I'm outside.
When I've done something for which I or someone else thinks is wrong, then he's not there. But when I've done something for which I and everyone else thinks is good and I get brownie points, then he's there. No. God is in all, or all is nothing, but God can't be all until you expect all from him. He's now living your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, never. There's never a situation, there's never a thought. You can do nothing. Your independent identity was a lie from the moment of your birth, from the moment they named you. You are joined to the Lord, therefore you're one spirit. As he is in the world, so are we, forever settled in heaven. And that certainty of that position is that which will cast down the imagination, and which will allow you to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because it's always Christ. Do you understand? A little bit?
I got into an argument with somebody who's pretty close to me. And the argument was, this person said that they felt like all their thoughts came from God, but their actions didn't. They had control over their actions. And I, of course, berated them, but I do the same thing. I mean, exactly the same thing. You know, I tend to think, well, that thought couldn't be from God.
Well, yeah, you know, Bananas the other night, we studied the spies, you know, the 12 spies that were sent. And 10 of the spies came back and said,
oh, my
God. Oh shit. And 2 of the spies came back and said, hallelujah.
You see the power of God.
Well, and that's a metaphor for, you know, in most of your lives, there's probably maybe one-sixth of your life that you can believe the report. But there's 5/6 of your life that you're convinced the giants are impossible and you're not going to go in there because they'll hurt your body.
Yeah, in fact, you don't want to take the ark or anything into that situation because, you know, you couldn't survive or something like that.
They might steal the ark.
We are faced with the same issue right now. Temptation, obstacles, debt, habits, unconsciousness, weirdness, kink, I don't care what you want to call it. They're all the giants that are in the land. The common. One issue, one singular issue is common to every stimulus that you confront. Everyone. And that is, do you see yourselves as just yourself? That's just me. That's just the way I am. That's just the way I respond. Or do you see yourselves in faith as who you really are? Can you get a hold of that a minute? I'll show you the difference. I'm glad you asked the difference.
Say it one more time. This is where we go to the model.
You didn't plug everything.
No, I'll get a Bible tape. All the cameras in there.
Okay, somebody give me a problem. Somebody tell me something. No. Like I can't deal with this.
I can't make enough money to satisfy my wife.
I can't make enough money.
It's pretty original.
Well, I want you to put it in there whatever your particular stuff is. Now, what's the automatic here that we do?
How about I don't
try to get some more money?
No, the thing that we automatically do is we look at the verb portion of it, or I cannot make enough money, I cannot stop smoking, I cannot find a job, I cannot get anybody to come to my Bible study. The idea is whether it's not make money, not stop smoking, not find a job, not. But the point is that our eyes automatically look for a solution to that which is connected with doing.
Yeah. Right.
Making, stopping, finding, or getting.
I mean, and that's true in any situation you're confronted with. Now God says, so I don't care how many games you play here, you can do all kinds of stuff. But God says there's a different way. God says your focus should be on who the I is. Do you understand?
Yeah.
As long as you believe the I is the independent self, then this is immaterial. As long as you, once you begin to recognize who the I is, who is the I?
Jesus, the I am, Christ.
Somebody say it.
Jesus Christ can't get anybody to come to his promise.
Yeah, not, actually none of those relate to Jesus today. He never made it.
Well, no, but who, you see, don't let your ideas about any situation. God has established the bounds of your habitation. In Him we all move and breathe and have our life. So don't you take your prejudices with regard to either Christ or your situation into the arena. You simply know who I is. Then you can say with Paul, I can do all things. And therein is your mind renewed. Therein are the imaginations cast down and brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Therein you recognize that without Him you can do nothing. Therein you recognize that God is all and in all. And He won't be all in your life until you expect all of Him. How do you expect all? You expect all by the way in which you communicate. Is this touching any of you?
Yeah, it's
Expand more on that last statement. You expect all by the way that you communicate. I don't
know. Well, as long as your verbiage is the independent self, as long as your thoughts are the independent self, then you're in duality. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Then your eye is double, therefore even the light that's in you is darkness. You're looking at two, the duality. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You are forever one. He is your life. You, the old, that which is the old, that which is you, which is alive from the beginning, has been crucified. Well, who is in this vessel then? Only one. It's never going to be different than that. No situation can ever arise in which this is not true. Don't bring your prejudices and say, well, he's there, that's true except in this arena. Then if it's not true in all arenas, it's true in no arena. This is what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be made manifest unto you. This is what it means to say, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Somebody raise their hand.
I said I had an example about communicating. It was, you don't want to go out with me, dude. It's kind of the way you ask, the way your conversation is. It's like,
you're under the problem kind of thing. It's already before it even arises.
You're expecting the problem.
Now, the trick that most of the Babylon's trick in this thing, in this little scenario, Babylon says, I can't do it, but he can. Some of you love Babylon. You love that trick. Oh, I know Jesus is trying to show me something here, but
I can't see it.
I can't see it, but he can.
Wherever he might be.
And wherever this mystical Christ is going to pop up, someday maybe, if I'm
His
good.
His grace is sufficient for me. I'll drink it.
What do you say, though? You say, Christ is able to see this, he just...
You simply act like anybody else. You say, I am able to see this, but inwardly, you're in your imaginations, you know. You're not going to run saying, hey, praise God, I'm Jesus. I am Holy Christ. It sounds ludicrous because it's not to be externalized. It's that which is the anchor of your soul.
And the message is not, I am Christ. The message is, you are Christ.
Therein you are free. Now, I love the one. The one that really gets me, though, and it just used to, and it's always bugged me. It's always made me ill, because every one of you have used it in one way or another. I can't, but he can. Hallelujah. You see, that's Babylon. You escaped from Egypt, and you ran right to Babylon.
Israel.
Huh? Yeah, you played hopscotch over Israel. Played hopscotch with a unicorn. Or leapfrog with a unicorn, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a better picture.
Do you understand the totality of the cross? If the cross is the only real thing that has ever happened in time and space, then it's permanent. I glory in nothing but the cross, by which the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. My life is hid with God in the heavenlies. It's not, well, only that's true if I think nice thoughts, or if I am at Bible study. That's always. Well, okay, now I remember this now, but 5 minutes from now I'll forget it. Therefore, we need each other to exhort us. Right. I mean, all that's true, but it's childish. It's child's play. Once this understanding begins to totally permeate you, then it's the sun has made you free and you're beyond freedom. It's free indeed. I mean, it's freedom so free that nothing can touch you. And then the promise that was made on the eighth day or the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. They that believe on me, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. That you will no longer dam this spirit, this life, but it will fill you up and spill over to everything you touch. And listen to what Jesus said. And this is true for you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the fruit of the believing. You can't do anything else. You will set captives free. You will heal the brokenhearted. It's not something you set out to do, but because that God has established the bounds of your habitation, because in him we move and breathe and have our very being, then as that river of living water comes forth from you, that's your vocation. Okay, let me leave you with the one thought that I said before from William Law. God must do all. God must do all, or all is nothing. God cannot do all until all is expected of him. Amen?
Amen.
I can do nothing of myself. From now on, nothing. Not breathe, not move, not smoke, nothing. I can't even masturbate. I can't do anything. I mean, I'm no longer, it's him. You get rid of this propensity for good and evil in your thoughts. See that he is all and in all. And be ye transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind in that arena. Take it, big guy.